It's always a privilege, great time for me to come and worship with you here at Brentwood Hills. I remember the last time I was here, you also had a plethora of preachers, and I got to sit and listen. Would have been my preference to do that today, but it didn't happen, and it may still happen. We've prayed, we've tried to study, and in the final moment, it's going to be up to the Lord. And you need that as much as I do if we're going to receive a blessing in this service like as we are engaged in. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that we call Easter Sunday. I don't mind that word Easter. It's in the Bible. In the Bible, it simply means from the east. As the sun rises in the east, our Lord rose from the grave. We worship on Sunday to honor that great event. They worshiped on Saturday in the Old Testament when our Lord rose on the first day of the week. That's what we call Sunday today. The Christian church began to meet on that day to honor that great event because he rose again for our justification. And if Christ be not risen, then we are dead in our sins. The Apostle John was on the island of Patmos, being exiled there for preaching the gospel. He was lonely, but he wasn't alone. Or he was alone, but not lonely. Because he said in the book of Revelation, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I think he's talking about Sunday. And he had a pretty good day that day, on that Sunday. He had a good meeting. I hope we can have a good meeting today. Already have so far. Some preachers get up here and they say, I preach what the Lord gives me. Well, duh, I hope so. You feel like you got to tell us. I'm kind of worried about you now. And they say, well, I don't preach occasional sermons. I say occasionally I preach a good sermon. In other words, what they're saying is, well, because it's Easter Sunday, that doesn't mean I'm going to preach on the resurrection. Or because it's close to Christmas, I'm not going to preach on the birth of Christ. I was following one of these smart-alecky guys one time. It was on Christmas Eve. He said that, and he preached on something totally different. I got up and said, brethren, I'm going to preach on the birth of Jesus Christ. And that church amened and was happy, and we rejoiced. Now, he felt the Spirit, but I felt the Spirit telling me to preach on that. And I've gone a long way around just to tell you that I feel the Spirit of God. I want to talk to you about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's on your mind. It's on my mind. I want to start in the book of Matthew. This is found in the 27th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. We're going to begin before Sunday, before that resurrection day, that first Easter Sunday. Christ has died, gave up the ghost, and we read in verse 62, after he had been put in the grave. It says, now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that that deceiver said, I'm getting mad right now. That deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. I'm glad they marked what the Lord said. I think he said it about four times telling his disciples. He even told the manner of his death. And he said, the last sign I'll give you, the sign of the prophet Jonas, as he was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. He told them he'll rise again. They all should have been there at that tomb on Sunday. And these guys, they remembered it. How come the apostles didn't remember it? Well, they said to Pilate, command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. What error are you talking about? They're afraid. They don't want the report that he's risen from the grave. They don't think he's going to rise from the grave, but they don't want a report going out that he rose from the grave, so they're going to try to fix it. Let's see what they got on their mind. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way and make it as sure as you can. I like that. I kind of sense a little sarcasm in Pilate there. He started it all when he told them to put that sign in three languages, this is the King of the Jews. They didn't like that. They told him to take it down. He said, what I've written, I've written. You're afraid of what they're going to do. All right. You get some guards there. You watch that sepulcher. You make it as sure as you can. I wonder how sure they can make it that will prevent the Lord from rising from that grave. I wonder. Let's find out. Let's find out what they're going to do. They got a scheme. Let's see what they got on their mind. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. I'm going to think there's probably two guards. They put a stone and they seal that stone, the entrance of the sepulcher. It was a large stone. But my beloved friends, they could have put the Rock of Gibraltar in front of that thing. Amen. And they could have gotten 12 legions of Roman soldiers, and it wouldn't have stopped him. Amen. Nothing was going to keep our Lord from fulfilling his purpose that he promised his Father, and that he said unto them, for this cause came I into the world. I came to die. And I came to live again. Y'all make it as sure as you can. It's not going to be enough. Now, we're going to take a little journey with three precious sisters. And I want to go into into the book of Mark. We're still going to be before Easter Sunday. Joseph of Arimathea comes before Pilate, and he desired the body of Christ. And he was going to anoint the body of Christ, and he was going to place his body in a new tomb. I've asked a dozen preachers, why did it need to be a new tomb? And I've got as many answers as preachers I asked. I don't know. Must be something there, but I don't know. I will say this. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only man that borrowed a grave and gave it back. He takes the body of Jesus, and he's met with another man This man is Nicodemus. And those brethren did their service to our Lord and honorably buried him in this new tomb. They did not know that when they were in that sepulcher with the body of Christ, they were being watched by somebody. Somebody followed them from the cross to the tomb. I've studied it. It's about half a football field from the cross to Joseph's new tomb. It's not very far. We read in Mark chapter 15 and verse 47. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. They were watching. They were going to undertake a mission in 3 days. And they wanted to know where they had to go to fulfill that mission. Their mission was to anoint the body of Jesus Christ. And so they came. And we read in the next chapter, verse 1, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. Easter sunrise service right now. It's going on right now. What are they doing? They're going to honor the body of Christ. That's a good thing they're doing. They brought odors, spices. They were going to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to tell y'all what the gospel does for us. There is a difference in our thinking when we understand the gospel. There are questions answered that only the gospel can answer. And there's comfort only the gospel can give you. I'm going to read a statement that these women made as they were on their way to the sepulcher. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" How are we going to get to it? We can't roll it away. How are we going to get past that stone to do what we want to do? First of all, they were late. He had already risen. Second of all, they were late because his body had already been anointed by Nicodemus and Joseph. But Joseph and Nicodemus were late too, because his body was anointed before them. There was a woman by the name of Mary. Mary the mother, Mary the sister of Lazarus and Martha. Before he went to the cross, they made him a supper. One of my favorite scriptures of all time. First of all, it's got the word supper in it. Amen. I like that. But I like they made for him a supper. You know that's what you're doing right now? You are preparing a feast of praise for the Lord Jesus Christ. And by him, in answer, by his Holy Spirit and by the preaching of the gospel, he makes for you a supper. And we all commune together. You can say, what about singing? Why, he's there too. Yes, he's in the midst of the congregation singing praises to God with us. Right. You know what makes our singing good? It's not that we got all four parts of the harmony. It's not that we pitched it just right. Amen. I'm not saying that's wrong. I like that. That's good. But I tell you what, If you're singing off key, you're singing too slow, too fast, too whatever. If Jesus is singing with you, you've got good singing. Amen. That makes all the difference in the world. We are desperately in need of the Lord Jesus Christ and His abiding presence when we meet like this. We need Him. He's with us. But let's make for Him a supper. How about that? Let's do something for Him. What He did for us in saving our souls from hell, my beloved. The least we can do is prepare Him a supper. And after that supper, Mary takes an alabaster box. Very costly. 300 pence. And she anoints the body of Christ. Matthew said she anointed His head. John said she anointed His feet. I like to say this. When you see the Lord as the head of all things, you'll wind up at His feet. That's where you ought to be, down at the feet of Jesus. I know we're joint heirs with Christ. But as we sang, He is my shepherd, my husband, my friend, my King, my Lord. I'm going right down to His feet, my friends. So they were late, and they were worried. They were worried. The gospel will tell you that stone doesn't need to be there. You may think, have I done enough to be saved? The gospel says you couldn't do anything to be saved. He did it all. That stone's been rolled away. You may think, oh, if I accepted Him as my personal Savior. The gospel says He accepted you in the Beloved before the foundation of the world. That stone's been rolled away. You may think, oh, I don't know what I can do in the house of God. Do I have a gift? I'm so small. The gospel says if you have been washed by the blood of Christ, you are worthy to come in and enter and sup with Him and worship Him. He has made you worthy in the Lamb. You didn't make yourself worthy. Take that stone away. Take that whatever obstacle is keeping you from being with God's people on the Lord's day and rejoicing in the sound of the gospel. You just give that to the Lord, it's gone. As they were wondering and worrying about this stone, it had already been rolled away. Let me ask you this. Why was the stone rolled away? Who rolled it away? I don't know. Maybe the angels did. But I firmly believe this. That stone wasn't rolled away so Jesus can step out of that grave. I think when he rose from the dead, I think He just left that sepulcher, stone intact, watch intact. He was gone. It is empty right now. That stone is rolled away so we can see. That we can look in and see it is empty. Where our Lord was crucified at the place they call Golgotha. And Joseph's new tomb, not very far away. And then the other way, not very far, is a place called Mount Olive. They're all right there together. Go to the cross. See Him bleeding, dying for your sins. Look again. He's not on the cross. Go a little further to Joseph's new tomb. Behold, the stone is rolled away. Look in, it is empty. Now go a little further. Go to Mount Olive. see him rising up into glory. And do you hear what the angel said? This same Jesus will come again. And you just keep thinking that until he does. Who will roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here." Amen. Let that refrain go out. He is risen. He is not here. He's not still there. He's not waiting for you to get him out of there. He did not need us. He did it alone. He bore it alone. He rose alone. He came up out of that grave. Who's going to prevent him from doing what he came to do? Is your unbelief, shall it make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Shall your prejudice, shall your pride, your arrogancy, cast that away? Those are stones that are keeping you from viewing that empty tomb. Let it go. And rejoice. Don't be afraid. He's not here. He is risen. He said, "But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him as he said unto you." All right. Wonder why that angel told them, "You tell the disciples and Peter." Well, Peter's one of the disciples. But Peter was singled out. You know why? Because Peter's got three questions he needs to answer to match three denials. And you tell Peter, he's risen. I wonder what Peter thought about that. If I was Peter, I'd be shaking in my boots right now. I'd be, "Oh man, he's going to, this ain't going to be good." Oh man. And that's why he said, "I go fishing. I'm going to get out of here. I better go back to fishing because my disciple days are over." And then Peter, and the Lord meets him right there. "You didn't catch anything, buddy." No, sir. Once you know the Lord, the world is never the same. You're not going to enjoy this world once you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You're going to come up empty-handed. You can lie to yourself and say, "Ain't this fun?" It's not. You can say to yourself, "I can replace it." No, you can't. Your soul is going to cry out in agony, "I need to be with my Lord. And I need to be with my Lord's people." They came back with empty nets. "Children, have you any meat?" "No." I bet they were like, "Get out of here. What? Don't rub it in, buddy. Get out of here. You got any meat?" "No." "Oh, well, looky right over here. I got some fish already cooking." It is the Lord. "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" That's another question I ask preachers. What are the these? I think it was the fish, but it could be any. Well, you know, it could be any. Now, one of the great things about being a Primitive Baptist, especially when you go out east, they have what's called a catfish fry. Now, Texans, we love our brisket, and we have brisket. But I do love catfish. Can you imagine the fish that our Lord prepared them? Must have been mighty tasty. But Peter wasn't tasting a thing of it because he's still shaking. And then he gets the question asked. Lovest thou me more than these? Fill in the blank. Any answer will do. Whatever the these are, you shouldn't love it more than the Lord. Oh, Lord, I know I love thee. Well, feed my sheep. I'm feeding the sheep right now. Peter, lovest thou me? Yes, Lord, feed my lambs. Focus on the sheep and the lambs. If the kids get it, then I know the rest of you guys can get it too. All right, I preach to the children. I want to get on their level. I'm a child of God anyway. We're supposed to come before him as a little child. Okay, he's got the sheep and he's got the lambs. What else is there? Oh, we're going to go back to the sheep. Peter, lovest thou me more than thee? Oh, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Follow me. All right. Now, we're on this journey with these ladies. There, they see the stone. They hear the words of the angel. Good words, good news. He's not here. He's risen. Go tell the apostles. But Mary Magdalene, she tarries. She stays there. She's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Leslie and I really enjoy watching that miniseries called The Chosen. I highly recommend it. I usually don't recommend video presentations of the Lord, but this one is fantastic. And it's filmed in Midlothian, too, for that matter. Right. In fact, the man who plays the Lord liked Midlothian so much, he bought a house and he lives there full time. And every time I've watched that series, I say to Leslie, I don't know, I don't know about that. I'm going to check that out. Every time I said that, I checked it out. They were right and I was wrong. And one of the things I remember, one of the first persons in that show that became a follower of Christ was Mary Magdalene. I thought, I don't know about that. I think she came later. You check it out. She was that. Bible says she was there from the beginning. I love Mary. I hate what the world has done to her. Amen. Like I said, I don't usually recommend stuff like this. Because what some things have places people have done with Mary Magdalene is shameful and against the word of God. And it should not be viewed. She was there at the cross. She followed Joseph and marked the place where he laid the body of Christ. Very early at the rising of the sun, she's at the sepulcher. She hears the glorious news of the risen Savior. These were the first people to hear the glorious news of the gospel. And then she remains because she is seeking more. Friends always want more. I want to know more about him. I'll never know enough, and I'll certainly never know it all, but Lord, let me know more about you. And the more I know about you, maybe I can praise you better. And we go to John's writings, and we pick up the story of Mary. This is found, let me see. See, when Leslie told me this was Easter Sunday, that's when this sermon came to my head. And I had all the 5 minutes while I was driving to study this out. All right. Let's look at John chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that would be John, and said unto them, they have taken the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, they came, and they had a foot race, and they ran there, and John stopped, but Peter went in, saw that it was there. And then they left. Mary's all alone. She doesn't go back with them. She stays. She's seeking. She's wondering. She wants to know, is there something more that I can hear, that I can know, that will give me some degree of comfort, some confirmation? Because my beloved friends, you can hear me tell about the Lord. You can read about him in the Bible. You can sing about him in our hymn books. But until the Lord comes to you, you will not ever know him. And no man can come to me except my Father would send me, draw him. My beloved friends, my servants aren't good enough. Brother Ward, Brother Keith, all these brethren, our servants aren't good enough. You need the master preacher. You need him to preach to you. And he will pierce through your heart. And he will write his name and his laws in your heart and your mind. And when that happens, you know the Lord. And it's all the Lord and it's nothing of you. And if you want to know more, just keep waiting. Sometimes the best thing to do is to do absolutely nothing. She's waiting. We read in verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Sometime, my friend, time to stop talking and turn yourself around. Whichever way you're going, you may be going a wrong way. Repent means to turn around. Go back. Turn yourself around. Turn away from this world. Turn away from all your desires and turn yourself back. And you just may see the Lord standing. You may not know it was him. Don't worry. He'll fix that. He'll take care of that. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She's supposing him to be the gardener. She was right. Amen. He is the gardener. He's the master gardener. Where his planting, he planted his seed in us, right? We're trees planted by the rivers of water. Who put us there? He did, the master gardener. We didn't put ourselves there. He grafted us in. We were the wild olive tree. He grafted us in. Who did? The master gardener did. You're right, Mary. You're looking at him right now. The gardener. And she said, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself. There she goes. Keep turning, Mary. She turned and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Amen. My friends, Jesus does not have to preach a long-winded sermon. He's not like us. I can preach for 8 hours. He says, he can say it all in one word. And there was a time, my beloved, I want you to listen to me. There was a time in your existence. You may have been in your mother's womb. It may be on your deathbed. But my Lord comes to you and he speaks your name. He knows your name. He's written it in his book from the foundation of the world. I've heard preachers say over the years, well, I don't know what name we'll have in heaven. I don't know what name he wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why are you worried about that? Come on, man. Seriously, are you trying to make yourself smarter than you're really not? Give me a break. When he calls your name, you'll know it. He could have said to me, David. He could have said, David. He could have said, what my dad always called me, Davo. He could have said, you big lummox. I would have listened to that. David, Lord, how did that happen? It's a miracle. Oh, it's a miracle of grace. No man spaketh like this man. No man. Oh, my beloved friends. One word. One word. He says live. You live. He says preach. You preach. He says he'll reveal his word to you. It is revealed. You say, I didn't deserve it. You're right. You didn't. But he did it anyway. He did it anyway. Mary, all those fears, all the tears, all the worry. Oh, what about the stone? What about the guard? No, he's gone. They've taken him away. Where's my Lord? Why, he's right there. You say, I don't see the Lord. I don't see the Lord. But he sees you. His eyes are always on the righteous. A lot of people will say, Lord, are you up there? I say, you might want to say, Lord, are you down here? Because I know he's up there, but I want him down here with me. And just because I can't see him doesn't mean he's not there. There have been so many times in my life, my friends, that I've looked back that I thought it was me against everybody. But the Lord stood with me. The Apostle Paul said one time, at my first defense, no man stood with me. Nobody. Nevertheless, the Lord stood by me. That's right. That's right. He's there. He's there right now, my friends. What a miracle it is. Mary, Rabboni, Master. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things unto her. My beloved friends, that our Lord rose on this day of the week had changed the habits of Christians ever since. We do not meet on Saturday. We meet on Sunday. We trust that when we meet together, he will be there in our midst. We trust that if we're not in the congregation, like John, we can be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. But if we have the opportunity to be with the congregation, then let us strive to be in the congregation. Amen. I remember during the quarantine, at first I thought it was fun. You know, everybody's having live streams. I got to hear 5 sermons that one day. It wasn't torturous. It was great. It was good. I did it by choice. I said, I got to hear 5 guys preach today. This is pretty good. But then it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. So I said, okay, I told Leslie, I said, all right, we're going to put on our Sunday clothes, we're going to meet in the office, and we're going to watch somebody preach. That wasn't enough. I told Leslie, I know how to fix this. I said, I want you to fix fried chicken and nanner pudding and smashed potatoes. I want you to serve it buffet style. We're going to have a handshake first. Me, her, Jackson, and Matt, we had a handshake. I asked if there'd be any remarks or announcements. I did everything. Do we have any business? Any conference? Do we need to go to the conference? I did everything. I'm trying to like we're having church. Okay, you got the fried chicken. Okay, now check, 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 check. You got the green beans. Check, 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 check. We serve buffet style. We sat down. We talk. Let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys, just like we do at church. Let's do it all. And it wasn't enough. You know why it wasn't enough? Because I didn't consider the scripture. Were you having worship? Yes. Were you hearing the truth preached? Yes. Were you singing the songs of Zion? Yes. Did you feel the Spirit? Yes. Were you refreshed by it? Yes. And you're saying that's not enough? No. Because what did the Apostle Paul say? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Amen. But exhort one another and rejoice all the more until ye see the day approaching. I think that's the day of assembly. And we are to exhort one another. And when the day of assembly comes, which is the Lord's day, the first day of the week, we're here. You can say, I can worship the Lord out there. Maybe, but not as good as you can here. The Lord built the church. And the Lord's will is for us to meet together. And the Lord likes it so much that he actually comes and visits and is with us in our worship service. And that's when we can say, I've walked with God today. I've been to the house of God today. My soul is satisfied. I know a little bit more about him. I'm comforted. I can face the week. But I'm looking forward to it again next Sunday. I'm going to exhort the brethren and let them exhort me. And then, Lord willing, I'll be there again in the assembly on the Lord's day. And I'll be refreshed. And it will just point me toward the great gathering day of our resurrection. As he rose from that grave, so shall we rise from the grave. Because you know what? That stone didn't keep him in there. The guards didn't keep him in there. And there's nothing on that day that will keep us from rising from the grave and being with our Lord. It says the sea will give up her dead. You can be on the bottom of the ocean. You can be anywhere. And I tell you what, our Creator God, who made everything out of nothing and made you out of the dust of the earth, will gather us together, and we will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and we will be like him, and we will see him as it is, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And nothing's going to stop that. Don't let anything frighten you about that. There's no left behind. There's none of that. Don't worry about it. Put your trust in God, because he's stronger than anything out yonder. And as one of my favorite lines in the songs we sing, my heart that on this promise lives, can on this promise die. God bless you. I love you all. Come here.